I want to say right up front, as I start talking about football, that I am not talking about football because all of my favorite teams won yesterday. But I'm thinking God might have a message in that for me. I don't know what that is. And I know that there are people here that, you know, don't care a lick about football. But in this next month, I think we could use some things in football to help remind us of how we live our lives and how our faith impacts our lives. I want this series, every time you hear the word football in the next month, I want, in my goal is that you will think, oh, you know, what's my position to play for God? I need to get out and join people who are doing the mission of Christ on earth. How can I find my role to play on that team and think about what it takes to be a champion in God's eyes? And I am in no way saying that the purpose, that God's purpose on earth is football. I'm not saying that at all. I am saying that football's not completely mysterious to us, and maybe there are some parallels between our faith life and football and positions and teams and referees who give us penalties. You guys pay attention to the talking heads of football that are on all the time. They are on the prognosticators. They're telling you what it takes to win. They're always talking about the different jobs on the team, and they talk about what it takes to be a champion. And the one thing that I hear a lot of them say is about what kind of commitment it takes to play football. And that's why I want to read from Joshua today, because Joshua was not a stranger to commitment at all. Joshua made a commitment, and he followed that commitment and lived that commitment his whole life. And it's that kind of commitment that I want to read about today. Let's read together. Joshua 24:15. The translation that I'm using today is The Message. If you decide that it's a bad thing to worship God, then choose a God you'd rather serve and do it today. Choose one of the gods your ancestors worshipped from the country beyond the river, or one of the gods of the Amorites on whose land you're now living. As for me and my family, we will worship God. The word of God for the people of God. So what's so fascinating about Joshua's speech that he makes is he said this at the very end of his life, and he was reaffirming the commitment he'd made when he was a really young man. As a young man, he was very committed to God. He would stay at the tabernacle day and night. He stood firm in his faith in God. And he believed very much in God's promise when all of Israel was threatened. And because of his commitment, when the people traveled to the promised land and then Moses died, God selected him, Joshua, to lead the people into the promised land. He then asked those people to make this commitment to God. And he said to them, as for me and my household, we will, some translations say, serve God. The message says, worship God. As for me and my family, we will serve God. It wasn't a hidden decision. It was the commitment that he made at the beginning of his life, and he followed it all the way through. And I think it's the same kind of commitment that it takes when you're on a team and you join a team and you're going to be part of that team. Imagine if here at Sunday morning worship, it was like a football game. All right? And it was so exciting. People were just as excited to be at church as they are for their favorite football team. And there were interviews, and they put the player lineup. Michael told me a minute ago that we should put up the player lineup. We could put the elders and deacons and their schooling and their weight and their position. You know what I'm saying? Right? And there'd be commercials, there'd be color commentators. It would be as exciting as it is to go to your favorite team's game. That would really show that we were committed, wouldn't it? What we want to talk about is how being a Christ follower is like being a part of something like that, being a part of a team. How when God's people come together at His church, it could be like a football game if we would do that. Because a football team has a purpose. There are lots of things that a group of 70 or 80 big guys could do. I mean, if they showed up, they could load and unload a truck in a jiffy, couldn't they? They could be UPS drivers. But that's not what their purpose is. Their purpose is to play football, to win football games. They're supposed to compete, and it's just the same with us in church. You know, we could do a great job singing some songs or, you know, keeping people busy in small groups or making sure that children are off the streets, but that's not our total and complete purpose. Our purpose is to build the kingdom of God, to make the world a better place, to restore people to the community, to heal people, and bring the dead people who are lost back into the fold and back to life. Jesus said very poignantly in John 10, I came so that you could have real life and have a lot of it, more and better than you ever dreamed of. When a football team takes the field, there are two teams. Have you ever seen a football player run to the wrong team, you know, to play? I mean, they know which team they're a part of, right? Every player takes the field, ready to do their part. None of them walk on the field undecided. Here in church, I think maybe sometimes we're standing on the sidelines instead of running out onto the field. We have to make that commitment to transform and change the world, to build the kingdom Jesus was talking about. And there's a parallel that I want to talk about. When I was in peewee football, whenever anyone was injured, everyone on the field took a knee. And you might even see that sometimes in the college game, even if it was a player on the other team. I was stunned on Friday night when the Atlee High School students in the Rage Cage took a seat when someone was injured. The rest of the game, they stand up and cheer. But when someone was injured on the field, they sat down. When the person was off the field, they clapped if the person got up. Fortunately, that was all that happened. That reminds me, taking a knee when someone's injured, that's kind of what the church ought to be like. Because whether you're on my team or on another team, I ought to support you. I ought to care about you. I ought to be concerned about how you're doing. You know, the world needs that kind of support and love and compassion. We need a more civil society where we actually listen to each other. We need to take a knee for each other when someone's down, instead of this competition that we're always talking about in the world, we need community. We need to build that. We need that spirit. Most people, you know, when they're talking about teams, they're thinking about the other team as an enemy, right? But what if we had more of that spirit for each other and supported each other in different ways? Today, I'm asking you to join me to leave the sidelines of, you know, and go out into the mission field. I'm asking you to go out in the world and help build the kingdom, to share your faith in your daily life, to listen more, to love more, to accept more, and to be just as excited about church as you are about your favorite team. That means you're inviting people to come. That means you're sharing some of your own journey with God with other people in your daily life. That means that you are going to leave here today and you're going to think about what position you're going to play on the team. That means that we have finished the pregame show. All right? The pregame show is done. Now it's time to get out in the world and play the game. God go with you. Amen? Amen. I lift up to you our invitation hymn now.